Hello, this is Jay Nemeth, quasi-indefatigable gentleness. Hello, you wonderful cows. I want you to know that this is not a derogatory statement. You know, it might have been in the past. I might have used this derogatory statement to tell you not to be a cow. You know, honestly, you know, following, like, let me take a good, for instance, you know, Jesus Christ. I want as many people as possible to follow Jesus Christ. He led the way. He was the example of how you get back to God, how you become a God. Exactly what you're supposed to be doing. So, if you're going to be a cow, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. I think the bad thing happens is when you're blindly following something. It turns you into the kind of person that becomes part of a part of an unwashed mass, a horde that can be controlled by those who have some more ability and can just control you. So, anyway. Are you feeling controlled yet? Are you feeling like somebody's pushing your buttons and you're just a little puppet on a string? That's really what we don't want. Christ doesn't do that. A lot of people have this picture of Jesus Christ as being kind of a puppet master. And, you know, I used to listen to songs by Amy Grant. My wife loved Amy Grant. I never really listened to Amy Grant until I got married to my wife. And she liked Amy Grant. And Amy Grant has this song about that we can't do good because we're not able. They're going to leave it to the Lord, as if God is going to come down and animate your body and turn you into something you're not. You know, all of a sudden make you good. And that what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to just kind of flop and let God control you. And I think that's almost bordering on evil. That's just evil. I don't even believe that. God doesn't behave like that. If you're going to be a rag doll, somebody else besides God is going to come along and they're going to animate you. And they're going to try and make you into this by telling you, oh yes, isn't this terrible? Don't you want to change this? Don't you want to make this life better? You need to help me in my cause to put this legislation into action because it'll make the whole world better. It never does. And it tends to tie us down and make it so it's more and more difficult to do what we would like to do. I want the ultimate freedom. I want ultimate freedom so that when I choose to follow Jesus Christ, I have no hindrances to my following Him. That's what Satan, the devil, you know, that bad guy, that's what he wants to do. He wants to throw up as many hindrances. He wants to throw up as many cultural practices as he can to make us decide that we don't want anything, you know, that we really have no choices. Oh, I'd like to do that, but I really can't. You know, there's not a tax advantage to it. I could get in trouble. I could lose my job. So I'm not going to do that. And you go, that's Satan getting you to stop doing what you should be doing in favor of doing what somebody else wants you to do. That's why I'm so worried about cows. I'm not saying you shouldn't follow anybody. But what I am saying is that if you're a cow, and cows tend to be herded, and they tend to do what they're told, they tend to do all those things, that it's more likely that you're going to be sucked in by evil. Somebody who wishes beyond all hope to enslave you, to make you theirs. You know, the guys on the TV want you to be part of a horde. If you're between the ages of 18 and 49, they want you to behave a certain way. They want you to buy certain products. They appeal to the mass mind, you know. That's what marketers do. They try to find what excites the most people. And the more people behave and act and think the same way, the more money they make. Because they can put out one thing and do it one way, and there will be millions and millions and millions of people that are sucked in by that. And that's really what they want. That's what really keeps them in money. And so there's this great cultural need by those who are in power to keep all of us kind of the same. That's one of the big reasons why we have public schooling. It was to keep us kind of together as a group, you know? Play us off of each other, keep us down, keep us kind of childish and silly, keep us in a mindless state of consumption. We always want to consume things, and we always want to have what our neighbor has. We always want to, you know, you got to keep up with the Joneses. Right now you can see it with these huge houses people buy. It makes no sense. If you're going to have a family of four, you need a little house. Two bedrooms, maybe. And a bath. And that's it. But no, these people that have four, there's four people in their family, them and maybe two kids. They're going out and they're getting $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 houses. Why? Because they've made sure you can. You've sold your soul because you're going to be paying money for the rest of your life and a lot of money to have this huge house. And I'll tell you, it's comfortable. It's nice having all that stuff. Honestly, I've always lived right on the edge of what I'm capable of, and I've always really regretted that I would have so much happier of a life. Because you know what? My wife and I, we live hand to mouth. It's been a constant struggle, I think. I've always kind of wanted to have things kind of moderate, and my wife really, I think she's gotten better over the years. But honestly, her greatest desire is to have all the great stuff, have all the good stuff. You know, she's got this picture in her head of exactly how beautiful, how wonderful, how envious perhaps everyone else is going to be of what she has, of what she's been able to accomplish. Unfortunately, it takes a kind of slavery. She actually wants me around as much as I can be. Someday I'd like to appease her that way, but the way she wants me to do it just is that I'm going to have to make millions and millions and millions of dollars without ever having to actually work. And I think it's being brought on by movies and stuff like that. There's all kinds of people. Every single guy you meet in a movie, they live in a really nice house. Not every single one, but a grand majority of them live in a really big house. About half the movies, they're totally consumed by their work, which is something that employers really want to put out there. You know, big-time corporate types, they really want to put out there that the best thing to do is to work really, really hard, long hours, doing all that stuff. Of course, we always come up with this wonderful vision that someday we'll make enough money in one of those jobs that we'll just decide to walk away, and we'll just decide to do something else. It's hard to call that the American dream, but I would like to call it the American fantasy, that someday you can have all this stuff and you can walk around, you know, and everybody can walk around in smoking jackets and go off and have neat adventures, go on great trips all over the world, do amazing things, because they're independently wealthy. They have to do nothing. All of their investments, all that stuff. So people go and they throw their money at stock markets, they throw their money at lotteries, knowing that at some point they're going to strike it rich, they're going to get lucky, everything's going to go great. I'm not a real believer in that kind of stuff. I don't think that really is what God wants us to do. I've always been more of the type that, you know, you can use your intellect to find ways to do things better, to do things inexpensively, to give up maybe some of the luxuries that you've always figured were necessities in exchange for the freedom it buys you, freedom of time, time to do what you'd like to do rather than what you have to do to earn the money that you need, to buy the freedom that you have no time to enjoy. I think we often get caught in that whole thing You know, you have to understand, regular people who go off and do something incredible in movies, that might actually happen on occasion. You butthead! You fucking butthead! God bless America! Where'd you learn to drive? Where the hell did you learn to drive? You don't even care. You don't even care. Forget this. I'm not doing this one. This one's going to go by the wayside. Gotta go. I swore, and I don't do that, except when somebody's trying to kill me. I had to lay on the horn just to get that. And he didn't even go over. He didn't go back over. He decided that his job in life, and this is a truck that's in front of me, he decided to join his life was to get ahead of me, but he was going to make me slow down to make it happen. You know, I'm sorry. The whole truck driving profession just upsets me, and it's because of a few bad guys who say, you know, I'm an 18-wheeler. Everybody's going to get out of my way. Everybody's going to get out of my way. They're going to do what I, you know, because I'm bigger than they are. And they're basically right. And he doesn't care. He's got that look on his face that says, ah, screw you. I'm bigger than you are. Get the heck out of my way. That's okay. We're at minute 11. No, I'm going to go ahead and keep this. I think it's important that we talk about stuff like that. Oh, boy. See, I'm sitting here trying to carry on a conversation. I'm trying to talk about things I'm thinking about. And, you know, it's hard to keep track. I can see things on the road because I can talk and keep an eye on the road. But, God, these guys are just nuts. And I'm not on an interstate highway. This is a little two-lane U.S. highway. And, I hope this guy doesn't stay ahead of me. He's making me angry. But I'm going to let it go. You know, it really doesn't matter. I'm fine. He doesn't seem to care. And there's no point getting retribution or anything like that. Let him go. He's going to go on about his life. I don't care. Okay. I don't remember what I was talking about. Ah, fudge. And I'm not going to go back and ask. I'm not going to go back and listen to what I've done before, just on the off chance I'm going to remember and take it back up again. Oh, yeah, we were talking about things like lifestyle and stuff like that. I've always been a firm believer. I'll jump right back in where I hope I was. I'm the kind of person who's always said, you know, I am more willing to give up some luxuries and some extra comfort so that I can have freedom. I'm real freedom-oriented. My wife, on the other hand, I don't think is really as worried about freedom. She's much more into comfort than I am. And she has this vision in her head of exactly how that's going to look. Her vision in her head requires me to make lots and lots and lots and lots of money, far more than I do now. And because of that, we tend to live really hand-to-mouth. We've gotten down to the point where I think my house payment is about as low as I can possibly make it. it's all these possibilities. I always dream of living out of town, living far enough out of town that people don't care what I do. And I think there's a lot of freedom to be had that way. Just to be able to be able to do what you like and be so far away from everybody who could go, I don't like what he's doing. There's a law. There should be a law against that. So I'm not going to do that. I won't want him to have high antennas on what he does, because that doesn't look good. I don't like that. We shouldn't have that. And it's like, oh, guy, okay, fine. I'm going to get away from you because you make me upset. there's some things I'd like to do, and you have all the freedom in the world to make my life miserable so that yours can be happy. And, what happens to me? Huh? I have to live your concept of what's okay. That's what I end up having to do. And, you know, we get tired of it. Tired of having to live up to everybody else's expectations because they decide, because they're part of a horde, they can find 2,000 or 3,000 people that think the way they do, that we shouldn't have this and we shouldn't have that because somebody could get hurt or it's unsightly or I just don't want it in my backyard. And to a degree, we all do that, honestly, you know? It's what we all do. But I'm just after some freedom. I'm willing to let people do what they want, as long as they don't get in my way and get in the way of what I want. I wish there were still places like that. We've pretty much gotten rid of all those places over time. People have moved in and say, well, I don't like that that's going on. I don't like that. And all of a sudden, there's a law against it. You can't do that anymore. You could have done it before, but now you can't. Well, there's no place to run to. There's no place to buy some property, inexpensively, where you can do that. But you have to understand, you know, rich people don't have to play by those rules. The rich and powerful don't have rules on them that way. They can do whatever they please. They really can. You know? That's why there's an allowance in most laws for variances. And if you've got so much land, you've got so much this and so much that, you don't have to keep those rules. Or if you have, you know, if you surround yourself with 100,000 acres worth of land and your house is right in the dead center of it and your nearest neighbor is, you know, 5 miles away just because you own everything between you and your next neighbor, you know what? You've bought yourself freedom. They can't see over there. If there's a cop that's coming to tell you to stop doing something, he has to trespass on your land for 5 miles to get to you. And you can just go away. But I don't allow you on my land. You can lock the front gate. What's the cop going to do? Do the bolt cutters and come onto your land? They might, but they're kind of worried about keeping their jobs because you're rich and powerful. You can get them fired. You know, the first thing you do when you're rich and powerful is you snuggle up to politicians and to lawmakers and to people who are in charge of law enforcement. And all of a sudden, nobody has an interest in doing that because these people are schmoozing you. You know? It's power and gain. How those things work. So how does a poor person make this happen? I've always had this, I don't know if it's self-fulfilling prophecy about my relative poverty. I'm really not that poor. But, you know, I'm kind of stuck in this whole situation that, you know, my wife has a different attitude toward this than I do. And that makes it difficult for us both. Sometimes she gets really unhappy because I'm not on the same wavelength as she is. She really wanted, her picture of what she really wanted, not that she wants to marry somebody else, is that, you know, she's going to have a nice house, a nice part of town. Her kids are perfect. You know, everybody's just lovey-dovey. And, I think she figured that housework would be just easier. You know, everything would go better. I sometimes think that she wishes she had a housekeeper. And, you know, honestly, I wouldn't mind giving that to her, but I don't make that kind of money. And I probably never will, because on the other hand, she's the kind of person that really, she wants me around, she wants me helping her. And I want to be around, I want to help her. But to do that, you can't work as much. You can't do what it takes to become rich and snotty and be able to have all these things kind of just taken care of. and you not have to go and do anything for it, that means at some point you will have had to have made a lot of money and stored it up. Maybe you might be living off of investments, although we've seen in the 90s that that was pretty dangerous. If you were invested in stuff, you know, whew, it might not have gone very well. Oh, guy, I am in construction Hades. Every single part of my life here is under construction. Every single road I'm going on, I go on some back roads to try to avoid stuff. I'm on absolute freaking construction behind vehicles that can go 15 miles a freaking hour. Okay. See, it happens on occasion. This road hasn't been worked on in years. And now all of a sudden, it is. Oh, fudge. I've got a double yellow line. I can't get past these people. This is road construction. This is Jay's Road Rage podcast. So here's my vision. You know, I worked on this for a long time. I always think heavily about how I can make the system work. How I can make it so I can get ahead. Sorry, I just had to pass that guy. He looks like he was sworn to going 10 miles an hour for the rest of his life. Shoot. All right. We're back cooking. I'm back on the road until they make me stop. Anyway. You know, these are just guys. They're just doing their job, too. Okay. Anyway, you know, if you want to have that kind of, you know, for lack of a better term, call it the smoking jacket life. That you don't really have to do anything. You know, you might be the president or CEO of a major corporation and, or no, you're actually the chairman of the board of this corporation. And somebody else runs it for you. You just get the money that comes off of it. And you don't do anything. At some point in the past, you did some amazing stuff. You made something fantastic happen. Your company's huge. And now other people who work for you actually run it. And you have the freedom. Or you're like a rock star. You've done something that was so amazing. It made millions and millions of dollars. And now you're living off those millions and millions of dollars that you made in that one point. That's much more likely for me because I have absolutely no interest in business. I'm not interested in such things. So I would tend to be more of your rock star, write the world's most amazing book, you know. And maybe that's what Godsend is. It's always been my dream to be able to do that and then to retire off the proceeds of it. I think I've gotten a little more, contemplative since I came up with that dream. It's still my dream, but I'm perfectly willing for it not to be amazing. I've written some stuff and it's pretty good. You can go see it in Quix, Quix.us, which stands for Quasi-Indefatigable Zenilith. It's about time to stop anyway to keep this stuff on a floppy disk size. It makes it so that you can listen to this podcast anywhere, under almost any circumstances. If your computer has a floppy drive and some kind of sound card, you can listen to this. It's an MP3 player. You can do it in DOS. I've probably got the only DOS-capable podcast that there is because it's small enough to fit. Go and see the stuff I've written. I think it's pretty good. My wife thinks it's really good. A lot of other people have said, oh, this is really good, Jay. So, I'm still trying to do the big thing. I've done a little bit of practice, and it looks pretty good. And I'm hoping that Godsend makes it happen for me. If not, maybe, who knows, maybe I'll do a podcast, tell me the time. We'll see what happens. Everybody have a great day. I'm out of time. Don't be a cow.